order.
Okay. We'd like to call a special meeting in
the five of order. The five of us?
Yes, all five all of five you of are us? Here. Yes.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go ahead, then.
I'd like to call this special meeting to order, and really our mission here is to try to review everything that's happened this week. Michael had some issues, and we all did because of that in support to talk about earlier this week, and we just need a status report, and we need to also be able to help give Melissa some guidance on drafting the final letter.
Okay.
So those two things are at the top of the list. Are our auditors on at this point, too?
They, unfortunately, are not able to join. They had a prior commitment and weren't able to join us at 4 o'clock, at the, 4:30 at this time.
That's kind of, well, I don't know. Doesn't, I'm disappointed, actually, because this is very important to all of us and to the school district as well. And I think that somebody ought to be there from the auditor's office. Michael, what do you think?
I don't know how we have this meeting without them. This is, I mean, Dan and I had a conversation with the auditors, but I think the rest of the board members should have, you know, have the benefit of having the same conversation with the auditors, and you know, we can summarize the results of that conversation. But I would think that the other auditors should, that the other members should hear that from them, not from our paraphrasing their message. So that's
yeah. Then I 100%. So what do we do?
Well, could you
could you update us, please?
Could you update us and paraphrase as best you can?
Well, I think we can try, but I think Michael's right that we ought to really take note of this because from errors to this, these are not things that are acceptable, in my opinion, for auditors to be doing. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I'd like Michael to kind of summarize, if best he could, our conversation, so at least you would be privy to what our concerns were.
Yeah, so we met with the auditors, was it Monday, I think? I was here somewhere. We had a follow-up call after last week. Yeah, on Monday, December 3rd, we had Dan and I had a follow-up call with the auditors. As you will remember, I think, Mike, you weren't there, but the rest of you will remember, at the original meeting, we had a very detailed review of the audit and the and financials, and I think overall got comfortable with it, and towards the end of their slide deck, they said that there was an unbooked adjustment of $12 million, at which point there didn't appear to be consensus between district management and the auditor on whether that adjustment was real or not, and it was of substance or not, and whether it should be booked. Well, the district came into it, in all fairness, assuming that the entry was not going to be booked, but there was no consensus on what was behind it, why the last-minute entry, and how they came to the conclusion that it did not need to be booked. So when we pushed back on them, they went back and reviewed and had some further follow-up with the district, and then apparently came to the conclusion that that was not an unbooked entry, that they had erred to bring that to our attention, and no longer felt an adjustment was necessary. So to which I pointed out that I felt that in the future, if we ever come back to an audit committee meeting where there's a unbooked adjustment, that management in the district should have a clear idea before they come into the meeting about whether they agree about the need for an adjustment, and then if they both decide that it's not going to be, it's not needed to be reflected in the financials, they should both have a good explanation as to why. In addition to the control aspects of that, so is it a weakness in internal control, and what level of weakness does it reach? But when they came back on Monday, they said that they'd done some further investigations and basically said that they had an error, and that the unbooked entry was no longer existed. And now now have come back, and they've presented in the board documentation today. We have updated financials, They included a minor subsequent event footnote for a passage of Proposition YY, I think it was. They put the date that we're missing in there of the audit reports. It's now all dated November 28th. Some minor corrections that I had suggested offline were also reflected in the financials. So I guess, you know, it would be nice for the rest of the committee to hear this process of how a 12-million entry mm-hmm. no longer needs to be booked and no longer even is a proposed entry.
Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt. Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt, but they are available now to call.
Yeah, I texted and they've stepped out of the board meeting that they were a part of. So can I add them?
They need to call in.
They need to call
in. Yeah.
You didn't have to notice them?
No, because they're not members of the committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it the 260-249?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that is Matt, who is the same person who we spoke to on the phone.
That's the idea.
He stepped out of the, I think it's a board meeting that he's part of at another district. And so he, I let him know that it was very important to this committee. And so he's going to call in right now, if that's acceptable.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's necessary.
Apologize for the delay. I'm just sending in the confirming the call in.
Is now joining.
Hello?
Hello?
Matt?
Hello?
Yep, I'm here. Sorry, I was trying to get off mute. Oh.
Matt, thank you for joining.
Okay.
Dan, do you want to...
Okay, Matt, this is Dan McAllister. What we're trying to do is offer a little bit of reconstruction for the rest of the board members so that they understand what we talked about earlier in the week relative to the $12 million issue, as well as some of the corrections that were requested and discussed at that time as well. So, Michael, do you want to say any more, or would you like Matt to revisit?
I think, Matt, I gave him a briefing of my understanding of our conversation, but I think it's important the rest of the board hears from you. You know, the sequence of the events of an adjustment, an unbooked adjustment being proposed and presented to the audit committee originally, and then as a result of our call on December 3rd, it appears that that is no longer a proposed adjustment, and how that happened and how you got closure and satisfaction that there is no longer an adjustment there.
Yeah, sure, no problem. So just to kind of take a step back, I know one of the things that was discussed, and although I wasn't at that audit committee meeting last week, was the potential adjustment where we had looked at the system and through our initial review came to the conclusion that there was a cutoff issue related to this one particular expenditure. And the reason why there was some question was because of the in looking at the financial system, and the cutoff for that, we couldn't tell, and it appeared as if it was reversed in the subsequent period and not accounted for correctly at June 30th, 2018. We were able to get updated information and review the general ledger and ultimately came to the conclusion that the cutoff was appropriate. So this was a transaction that was meant to be accounted for in 2018. And in fact, it was expensed in 2018. And we were able to, with Jody's help, get the general ledger and financial information to document that for our platform. So the audit evidence that we were able to receive and to ultimately put into our file supported that the district, in fact, did book that transaction correctly.
Okay. Michael, any thoughts?
Well, Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I just like to reiterate a point I made on the call on Monday, and I think, you know, I don't want to reflect this in the minutes, or, you know, obviously this is
public
record. Unknown
participant is now joining.
Hello. Did somebody join us?
Yes, I'm sorry. This is Andrea O'Hara. I was tied up on another call.
Okay. Who are you, Andrea?
Strategic Sourcing and Contracts Officer for San Diego Unified.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I apologize for the late ad.
That's all right. Well, as you were saying...
Okay. So as I was saying, I think there's three points that are in my mind, you know, I guess at this point for next time, which would be, you know, the fiscal year that ends June 30th, 2019. You know, when we come into an audit committee meeting, I would expect the auditors not to come in with unbooked adjustments. That would be, you know, the goal, just as we said, is a goal for the district not to have any internal control weaknesses. We also would expect not to have any unbooked adjustments. I realize that there can be attenuating circumstances, but if there is an unbooked adjustment when management and EY come into the audit committee meeting, I would expect there to be an agreement ahead of time. It appears that there wasn't an agreement in this case, because if those additional facts had been provided before the initial audit committee, it sounds to me like that would not have come to us, and that should have happened before the initial audit committee in my mind. And thirdly, if something is left on that list and there is an agreement, then there would need to be a consensus between management, district management, and the auditor as to why it's not material to make the adjustment and any materiality considerations. So that would be my recommendation for the future. I think it's important to take that in mind. And, you know, at this point, the auditors have told us they've done their due diligence on closing this out, and I put it back to the rest of the committee on any additional questions they may have.
I don't have any additional.
Those of you who weren't involved in the call, do you have any questions, Dr. Mike or Sharon or Colleen?
I don't have any additional questions. I did have a brief overview during my one-on-one with Cindy, and this clarifies the issue to my satisfaction, but I agree going forward that issues like this should be resolved prior to our meeting.
Good.
Yeah,
well, that's good progress. I think the other issues, Michael, that you raised are you having any additional questions about those that we need to present to Matt or to any of the others to talk about?
No, just to highlight again, there was a small addition to the financials for subsequent events, being the proposition YY. It's just a little short sentence or two explaining the existence of that new proposition, and then some updates which were mainly formatting and grammatical throughout the financials is what I'm aware of. Other than that, I don't believe there's been any management, you know, the district can confirm, but I don't believe there are any significant changes, and then also the Matt could confirm there weren't any significant changes to the initial draft beyond those items.
Okay.
I do have a separate question. Does the district draft their own financial statements, or do the auditors draft the financial statements?
You know, I'd say for the most part, we, the auditors, draft the financial statements. I mean, clearly we have to use the information provided by management, some of which is in the unaudited actuals, some of which is in other supporting schedules. So we try and work very closely with them on the drafting of the financials. I would say things like there were a couple of When I hit print the PDF, there were a couple of lines that had shifted over that Michael had pointed out in his review of the draft. I mean, those sorts of things are happened on our end, not on the district's end.
My question relates... No.
Go ahead.
One at a time. Sharon, did you have a question?
No, I'm just curious about how we're going to deal with, at the board, people who were at that first meeting, the public, and hearing that discussion about the $12 million, and now what we're seeing is our resolution. I don't want there to be the perception that we're trying to obfuscate or hide or do anything. So how are we prepared to address that?
Well, in the first place, as far as I know, there was only one individual from the community that wanted to speak and observe at the meeting, and she didn't stay the entire meeting, I don't think. But I don't know. And as far as anyone else goes, I don't think there was anyone else there from the community that... I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Because this is all... It's taped. And those tapes have to be made available to the public.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I'm just saying.
Also, this is the process of drafting a final report. So we're in the drafting stage. The final report is not final until action is taken tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that I was going to mention that our next chore right now, not tonight, we're not going to draft it tonight, but, Melissa, we need to come up with a good, sound draft, that which we agreed to include, those items, in our final letter.
Okay.
And we have Monday to do it.
We actually don't have Monday to do it. It goes public tomorrow.
That's right.
Well, I don't think I don't think the information that's in this draft letter is sufficient to address the issues we said we would address. The question also is that under the Brown Act, I've seen letters and support materials down even to the last day before a meeting or of the meeting, even as long as the item's noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume the presentation of the letter would have been noticed for Tuesday already, right?
Yeah, it's a regular meeting. It's been noticed for quite a while.
Right? But my question to you is, and maybe we need a legal opinion, but I don't know. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I can't stay to draft a letter tonight because of other commitments.
Well, we have the drafted letter, and then we also have the redlined version that I that Michael had sent everyone, that I forwarded to everyone. So I don't know if you saw the red line version as well with Michael's suggested edits.
And then
I guess the letter
with the committee.
Wait, one at a time. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, I was just going to say the letter as it currently reflects, it says that, you know, the committee originally reviewed the draft of the audit. However, due to outstanding concerns addressed by the committee, action was not taken at that time. After additional work by the auditors to address these concerns, the committee held a special meeting on December 6th and agreed to recommend the board accept and approve. So, I mean, the only, you know, semantics there, and I don't know if it's enough the way it is or not, is that it wasn't as a result of anything that we did. It was a result of the auditors going back and reviewing the work further.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we weren't, you know, persuading or opining one way or another. We just asked a question, and as a result, the auditors all of a sudden changed their mind on that. So it says, after additional work by the auditors, we agreed to recommend to approve it. So, I don't know. We can certainly wordsmith that, but it does talk to the fact that we had a draft version and we came back to it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm prepared to put that forward.
You what?
I'm prepared to move that forward as a motion.
Well, again, I see part of a letter, Michael, that you sent on the 4th. Is that the red line that you're talking about?
No.
Tuesday the 4th?
No, there's another one. No, there's an update that came through, and I think last night, and then, or maybe, I don't know, was that Melissa, you sent it the 4th, and then I replied maybe this morning?
Yeah, you replied this morning, and I forwarded it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I don't have that in front of me. I only have what I was given from before this morning. So I can't really comment or talk to that issue.
Well, Dan, if you'd like to review the red line once you have a chance, because it should be in your email, and send me your comments, regarding the meeting going public tomorrow, obviously it's preferred by our board that all attachments be included in the agenda when it goes public. There are instances of where we've had to add exhibits after the meeting has gone public, which in this case it sounds like we're going to have to add the letter after the fact. So
well, technically, the letter is what I present to the board and the public on Tuesday evening.
Correct. It's and yes, that's correct.
It seems to me that it's reasonable to expect that it be available on Tuesday because that's the best we can do at this point.
Okay.
I don't see, I mean, I'm sorry, but I just don't see how, unless you all want to go ahead and draft the letter, and then in that case, then you guys can sign it, but I can't until the letter is done so that everybody has satisfied themselves on our committee that it's done right.
Right, and Dan, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that maybe we need to take the weekend for everyone to look over the letter and send me back their additional comments, especially after you've had a chance to look at Michael's redline version. And then if I can have comments back by Monday so I have time to actually work on it, that would be great.
Okay. All right. Does that meet with everyone's approval?
That works for me.
It's fine.
I do have one question, though, mostly to the board. Okay. We say in here that it's the best opinion. Is it clear to board members that when it's stated that it's the best opinion, that there it's not referring to the quality of the financial statements and that there's no expression on the opinion of the effectiveness of internal controls, that they're merely saying the financials present fairly in all material respects the position of the district's activity? So I just want to make sure, because I don't think the quality of the numbers that we're seeing are without issue. I think that we speak to internal controls, but there are many opportunities. And so I just don't want to have it misinterpreted that the best opinion, which is unmodified, has a meaning different than what it's intended to be.
We can definitely clarify that statement, Colleen, if you'd like. That's not a problem.
Put that in the parenthetical.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My other question pertains to presentation of the letter and the findings of the audit committee. I know that I think we got a call this afternoon suggesting that it wouldn't be possible until 9 o'clock at night on Tuesday. And I must say that in the 15 years I've done this, we've always been able to move the timeline up. And I appreciate the convenience to a 6-ish time frame. 5 to 6 is when you start the meetings, and it's always been earlier. And I just would ask the powers that be if we couldn't do it a little sooner than 9 o'clock.
Why did we say 9?
We could ask to do a time certain.
Yeah.
What time would you recommend?
We have multiple...
Well, I mean, you start the meeting at 5, I think, and once you dispense with flag salute and some of the preliminary kinds of things, whatever time that would be, 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock...
Dan,
something like that.
We have a large agenda on Tuesday with several student matters where we have to get the kids out first, and so we've moved some of the student matters up. I can see about us moving this up to following the student matters, but I know that there are some student matters that they need to address first thing in the meeting so we can get the students out of the meeting, because I have a feeling they're going to be there till 10 o'clock on Tuesday covering all the items on the agenda.
Sure. I just want to make sure that it's, you know, not 7 to 9 p.m., because it's just, it would be a convenience to me and to our committee, I think, to do that. I don't know what students are doing or what they're supposed to be doing, but my contention would be, well, the students are extremely important, so too is the audit, and it's important to get it out and get the information out.
Okay.
We'll take a look at that.
Will representatives of Crow be at the meeting?
Yes, they'll be there.
Yes. So if okay. a question comes up regarding the, you know, the change in the $12 million, I think we can defer to them, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Could defer to them.
Yeah.
If there's a question about it, and that way you can let us know by Monday morning on a time certain, Dr. Mike.
Melissa, no.
I will do that, Dan. I'm the one who puts the script together, so I will work on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, and thank everybody for coming together on this rainy Friday afternoon to discuss these issues.
Thank you, Dan.
Matt, we appreciate you coming out of your meeting.
Thanks, Michael.
And every one of the audit committee, I say thank you to, because I know it's a chore to get places, especially in the rain, and we proved today that it's even difficult to get people by phone. So there you go.
And then, Dan, one quick question. Is the committee going to take action on whether or not to recommend acceptance of the audit today, or are we...
I think we should.
Okay. So
I think we should, too. Mm-hmm. And then we can craft a letter reflecting that, as well as the other points that we wanted to raise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll move to accept the financials as presented, if that helps.
Okay, thank you.
Your second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Colleen.
Colleen.
Okay.
Colleen seconds. Okay. All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. So thank you all for joining us this afternoon. And Melissa.
Yes.
Can we talk in the 11 o'clock hour Monday morning?
We can, yes. I'm actually leaving at noon on Monday, so if we can make sure it's 11, that would be great.
I'll have to check with
I'll call Sue.
The powers that run my schedule in life.
Dan, do an 11:30.
Okay. Melissa?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. We'll talk at 11:30.
One last thing, if we could. On the letter, we didn't really address the issue of the pension. I wasn't totally sure on what the messaging was, and I wasn't sure if there was a call that was going to be arranged with somebody to help us understand that better. So,
Question. Mr. Young, is he available tomorrow, as I understood, possibly?
He was available today. I know I had talked to Sue about that earlier, and I know she was trying to set something up for you to speak with him, but I wasn't...
At other conflicts.
Okay, so I can talk to Sue again.
But if there's a chance, he's the gentleman who does a lot of the work on the bonds and things for the school district, so he's in the know of the finances better than almost anyone, and he, I think, could help us craft some numbers and crunch some things. You know, there also were some numbers yesterday from the state, the schools group
school
that you all work with.
School services.
Help me out, Dr. Mike.
Debbie said school services.
Of California.
School services had some great numbers yesterday on pensions, and I think our goal was to say, this is an issue, and it's something that for the first time has been published because of the changes in practices that are required to go ahead and publish the liabilities for pension and OPEBs. I think my thought was that if we talk to Mr. Young, he might be able to give us some thoughts on statewide stats as the schools group could. Which would bolster our ability, Michael, to be cogent and coherent and upfront about why now and why it's published and what it is.
Okay. So we're referring to the change in the accounting policy, or we're referring to the funding level of the CalSTRS and CalPERS?
Well, I think we're obligated to present, and Matt, maybe you know, but we're obligated to present the actual numbers for PERS and STRS based on the new requirements. Matt?
Yeah, in terms of the pensions, I mean, there are two different things. One is the pension and the other is OPEB. The pensions have been, this is the fourth year that the GASB 68, the accounting standard, required the recognition of the pension liability in the financial statements. The new accounting standard for the current year has to do with the other post-employment benefit liability. So I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing, but the pensions, this is the fourth year that they've been accounted for the same way.
So it's the OPEBs that we should be addressing.
I mean, that was the change in the current year with the adoption of GASB 75, which required the district to recognize the actuarially-determined benefits related to other post-employment benefits, which for this district is defined by the fact that you have retirees who are participating or purchasing benefits through the district. So it's called an implicit rate subsidy. I think that's what you're referring to is the OPEB, that was the OPEB benefits that were recognized in the financial statements in the current year.
So Matt, could I get, this is Sharon Whitehurst Payne. I'd like to get some clarity on this because it was a big issue. The pension is one thing, and it's not something that the district is on the hook for. It's more the issues that we directly control and negotiate with employees before they retire. Is this what you're talking about?
So the pull up your report here. The pension is the CalSTRS and CalPERS unfunded liability. And that pension liability is included in your financial statement. It's not included in any of your funds, so you only see it at the end of the year when you see your audited financial statements. And there's some footnote disclosure and required supplementary information included in the report related to that. I was trying to draw up a page number here to kind of refer you to, but there's some schedules on pages.
Well, I think we went through that at the meeting, but as we discussed at the meeting, we're talking about the gap between what STIRS and PERS, based upon the schedules that you articulated earlier, that the district is still on the hook for. Is that what you're talking about? For example, if the, let's say hypothetically it's 75% that we should be at that level and STIRS and PERS are only at 68, then there's a gap of 7%, and that's the liability piece based upon the mortality schedule, et cetera, that the district is still on the hook for.
Yeah, so I would say that the district is on the hook for the district's proportionate share of the net unfunded liability at CalPERS and CalSTRS, and that's okay. The liability that has to be reported in your financial statement.
Okay. All right.
And that number was what, Matt? Do you have that handy?
For STIRS, the number was $1,042,000. And for PERS, the number is $497 million.
Now,
but Matt,
I
Matt that's the unfunded part, or that's the total obligation? I thought that was the total obligation. Maybe I misread it.
No, that's the district's proportion of the unfunded liability at PERS and STIRS. So that is not the gross total. That after they've considered their assets available.
All right, got it.
Karen, does that help?
Yes,
or not?
It does. It does, and it's clear.
Yeah, this is Colleen, and I kind of thought we should include something in that the committee, you know, is going to express some concern with the district's negative total net position, because we've had a total net position for June 30th, 2018, 17, and 16, and that the expenditures for CalPERS and CalSTRS are likely to continue to increase to address unfunded liabilities, and so the committee recommends that the district continue to look for solutions to fund these liabilities on a short-term and a long-term basis. It just feels like that needs to be, something needs to be said.
Okay. I can add that, Colleen. Thank you.
I think that pulls the ideas
together.
And then
the other thing, the other thing that I thought was kind of important is we talk about how we're concerned about the findings in the ASB. I think it's, if we're going to even talk about internal control findings, I really think that the company recommend that the district continue to focus and give priority on an internal audit plan based upon the enterprise risk assessment that was prepared. It seems more important that that focus be addressed, or if you're going to mention ASB.
Well, it always seems to get mentioned, so it's wise to at least let people know why we're mentioning it. Melissa?
Right. But then it also seems like we have this huge opportunity to implement an audit plan based upon enterprise risk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I put that in there. Yeah. I'm looking
it is? Where is that? I'm sorry, I missed it.
ASB was third paragraph down.
Well, the ASB is in there, and the risks analysis are in there, but the ideas maybe aren't tied together, so maybe...
Oh, okay.
You know,
as long as it's there, that's fine. I meant to miss that.
Anyone else? Dr. Mike, you have any other comments?
No, nothing new. Thank you.
Sharon, are you good?
I'm comfortable with it now.
Okay. And Colleen?
Nope, I said my piece.
Okay, thank you. Michael?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. And Matt, do you have any additional?
No, I don't. I look forward to seeing everyone on December 11th, and then I think that we'll be working with management to get the, after tonight's meeting and your vote there, that we'll work with management to get these issued into the district so that they have what they need for the meeting agenda.
Okay. And one last thing, just a reminder, whatever you can do to help me and whomever else is there, to get on to a time certain that's before 7 o'clock, we would appreciate it.
Okay, I will work on that, Dan.
We'll look at that.
Okay. Thank you.
Kevin hopefully will be there. Hopefully so I'll have to cheer.
All right. Good. Thank you so much. I hope you all have a great weekend, and stay out of the rain.
Do we need a moment?
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Did we take